Dear friends, we come once again to the Word of God, to the Ten Commandments, and specifically we have looked at the fifth commandment, which we find in chapter 20 of Exodus. And verse 12, the Lord gives this command while there was all the thundering and the lightnings coming down from heaven, while the mount was quaking, while the hearts of the people were filled with fear, the Word of God came. And this is what the Lord wrote upon that table of stone. Verse 12, we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And friends, the last time that we looked at that command, we looked at the command itself, but not the promise of it, which we want to consider it this evening in the time that we have. It's a command which the Lord Jesus Christ fully obeyed. He honored his father. His father said that this is my beloved son. He does everything I ask him. He went about doing his father's business. He never dishonored his father. You want to have a right understanding of this command, you study the life of the Lord Jesus. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You seek to honor him and you seek to obey him and you seek to honor and love the Lord Jesus Christ. If your love for Jesus Christ grows more, your obedience in these things grows more too. You can't detach it. You can't just say, well, I'm going to honor my father and mother in a mechanical way. I'll just do whatever they ask me to do. You are not a machine, dear friends. You are not a program. You are not some sort of a code that someone has written and said, you need to follow these steps to get the answer that you need. No, you are not a calculator that you are going to simply punch in the numbers and then press equal and for it to then give you the solution and the answer. No, you are a living soul. And for you to obey any of these commands, you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have his life in you. Or else, these commandments, they will all condemn you. As part of the reason the law of God is given, so that it would make us see that we are sinners. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this, that it is our schoolmaster. It is that guardian that takes us by the hand and shows us our weakness and our sinfulness and takes us to Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus. But as you think about this, as you think about this command, honor thy father and thy mother, I hope I showed you that it is far greater than simply honoring our earthly father and mother. And I encourage you to go and study for yourself. I gave you a number of scriptures to show that actually the term father and mother is used on different levels toward different people. It is used with our natural birth parents, but also it is used for those who are older and more mature. It is used as well in the church for those who lead and minister the word of God. It is used in governments, in nations, for kings and those who rule over us. There are different ways that these things are used. The larger catechism or the shorter catechism uses the inferiors and superiors. And I strongly recommend you to go through, and we don't have the time to look at this, but get yourself a larger catechism and work through these things for yourself. And look up the verses for yourself and see that this goes beyond your earthly family. So I've just wanted to give you these things as a little taster, just to show that the commandments are not simply what you see on the surface. This is like an iceberg. You only see the tip of it. There are blessings that are contained under it. But we saw the command, honor by father and mother. And we said simply that this command is saying honor those in authority. Honor those in authority. And so we looked at the whole terms that are used as father and mother in the scriptures. We also looked at the fact of the social order for human society as it is revealed by God. But here this evening I want us to think about the promise of blessing in honoring authority. And of course we said that we're living in a world and our sinful heart doesn't like authority. You like to be told what to do? I certainly, it goes against my grain, especially in our natural grain, I should say. To be told that what you're doing is wrong and this is what you must do. It goes against human nature, the sinful human nature. And this is so important. If this command was obeyed in this church, if this command was obeyed in this nation, many things would be transformed. And it is for this reason people don't like to have authority over them. They don't want to have God in their life. Why? Because they know if they submit to the Lord, they must obey Him. They must obey His command. So they reject Him. They try to put Him out of their minds. They would rather make a god in their own image. So all of these commands are related, they're linked to one another. And we also said that what a dangerous position people are in. We read from Romans chapter 1 last time, an other text that couches this command, or it couches dishonoring parents amongst variety of sins. And we said that When a child, when an individual begins to dishonor those in authority, they are leading a life that is going towards the precipice. It's going to the edge. You're going towards a dangerous place because then you begin to do other things. You begin to be involved in other sins. So for your own soul's good, you ought to study this prayerfully on your knees. But there is this command, this promise that is given in this command. And the Apostle Paul, rightly so, in Ephesians chapter 6, quotes this because he believed in the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Can you imagine this? This is why we teach that the church, the families are not to be divided up during worship services. Imagine, the minister comes and says, we have a letter from the apostle. Begins to read. The apostle Paul has written this knowing that there are going to be children in the congregation. So he's reading this and so there are fathers, mothers, there are children. There are children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then it goes on speaking about fathers. Then it goes on speaking about servants. It goes on to speak about those who are masters. And it begins to teach about the variety of people in authority and those who are under them and their relationship with each other. And then what it does, it goes on, and it is interesting, in the context of this passage, it goes on to say, we are in a spiritual battle. This thing that we are struggling with in our homes, in our society, in the world, it's actually a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. And so you, children, when the command comes, obey, honor your parents. Then the command comes, you obey your boss at work. You obey those who have the rule over you in the nation. To think about these things is a spiritual thing. And what you need is the grace of God. And what you need is the help of the Lord. And what you need is this armor of God that is described here. Without it, you're going to fail. Both parents and children, citizens and church members. So that's the context in which, and it all follows one another. It's saying, you can't do this by yourself. You need the grace of God. You can't obey these things simply outwardly if you're not a Christian. You need the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you feel very guilty about your past. I'm sure you can look back and see the times you dishonored your parents, dishonored those who were around you, disobeyed things and in the church, in the state. And here it says, the promise is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the promise. Now, Moses and God are not telling you there why you should obey your father and mother, why you should honor or respect or revere your father and mother. God isn't saying, do this, so that you will get this blessing. That's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is not saying, do this because you will get this blessing. But he's pointing out the inseparable connection between obedience and blessing in God's plan. And so in this passage, he's telling us that the promise is always with regard to God's law. The one who walks in the ways of obedience will walk in the ways of blessing. Psalm 1 tells us that. The whole of Proverbs tells us that. Christians who honor and who obey God's commands. Imagine, these are God's commands. These are not the devil's commands. These are not man-made commands. These are good commands. The apostle calls them very spiritual. And they're good. And the psalmist says that he delights in them. Our Lord Jesus Christ delighted in all of these things. They come with blessing. Blessed is the man, the psalmist says. Happy is the man. So full of life is that man who follows the ways of the Lord. And that's very important because this is not always easy to do. Notice also, by the way, that the Lord himself, as he speaks to Israel, includes in this command not only a command to honor our father, that would have been the common in the culture around Israel, but a call to honor father and mother. The parental authority of the home and the normal structure of the home are spoken of or elaborated in this particular command. And when we are obedient to it, there is a promise. So in Ephesians 6, you see Paul drawing attention to that fact. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So this is honor thy father and mother. And that's the first command with promise. Now the fact of the matter is, the promise that is given in this fifth commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 12 is repeated several times in the Old Testament in relation to our obedience to God's law. So for instance, later on in Exodus, it's attached to the command to obey the Sabbath. The principle then is this. When we are faithful to what God has commanded and what God has given to us to obey, he's faithful to bless us. So don't get all tied up about the exceptions of the rule. The point is, the way of obedience is the way of blessing. It's always the case. In obedience comes blessing. In disobedience, what comes? Curses and judgments and discipline. And we don't have much time, and this command is exceeding broad. If we were to undertake a study of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we would find that this command, as I said, applies not only to our honoring of parental authority, but also of those of who are of age. In Ephesians 5, Paul is concerned about the younger Christians, appropriately relating to the older Christians and show them due reverence. The command also applies, as we've said before, in Romans chapter 13. Paul says of our relationship to civil and government authorities. It applies to our approach to church authorities. That's why oftentimes the reference made to the office of the pastor and so on, rather than referring to people by their first name, or the same applies to people in power. We don't simply say Charles, we say King Charles. And such things. It is they're all reference to their office and the position that people hold, that it is office that is given to them by the Lord. It's not something that they've taken up. It's honoring that position rather than the persons. But Elisha, for example, refers to, or Elijah, I should say, Elisha, refers to Elijah as his father. He's his father in the Lord. Spiritual leaders in the New Testament were referred to as fathers. I gave you references for that last time. And this command also has implication for our relationship with those who are our superior in society, employers and others. And we don't have time anymore to deal with those things. And that's why I say, I encourage you to study this further. But I want to focus particularly on the issue of our response to parental authority in four areas. Parental authority in four areas. The first area that I want us to think about is that of the care of older parents. The care of the older parents, how the scripture speaks that we ought to honor them and care for them. In honoring them, we care for them. The second is the area of parents' proper relationship to children. And then the third is the area of or the problem of children disrespecting or disrespectfully relating to their parents. And then fourthly is the exception area. What if you have horrible parents? What do you do with that? That's the exception point. What if you have ungodly parents? What if you have non-Christian parents? How will you honor them? So those are the things that we want to think about. So first of all, I want to speak to you about the matter of our obligation as children to our parents. Do you have any obligation? Should you care for them? How should you honor them? We live in a day and age where older people in our society are viewed as expendable. We are told that, well, actually, government takes care of you. Government takes care of you at birth and then throughout the age. And then you just go through. They keep providing for you. They give you this. They give you welfare. They give you that. And really, you don't need family. You don't need other people around you. You just live in your little bubble and you don't need to relate to other people. And this is why there is such an unrest regarding, for example, I'm diverting here, about these 15-minute cities. All you need is that be within that 15-minute city. You don't need to get out. Why do you need to get out? Why do you need even a car? Just have a bike and just ride your bike around that area. You don't need to connect in person with individuals. But all of these things are connected together. There is this already a major ethics at universities. You look up universities and what they are studying and what they're proposing in the United Kingdom, and even on government level, who argue that older people ought to be euthanized, ought to be killed, because they spend over half of their resources on healthcare in the whole of their life in their last 6 months of their life. So why should they use the resources of the nation in the last 6 months of their life? This is what we are seeing more and more. It comes from time to time. It is highlighted in the news at times. But this is it. The respect and honor for life, that we are made in the image of God. That's the thing that is at stake. And so at a certain point, we ought to automatically euthanize them. It's not in their hand, it's in the government's hand, it's in the doctor's hand. Whatever he thinks. And this is a respected ethics at many universities. And in increasing number of countries as well, actually applied. You go to Netherlands. You go to Belgium. You go to Canada. These things have been passed for some years now, and Canada passed these laws just recently, months ago. These are advanced, supposedly advanced and progressive nations. And these things are being discussed, and in some cases are even done in the United Kingdom. Our society does not regard older folk. And you, older saints, don't ever say and don't ever think you are a burden on society. Sometimes I've heard Christians say this, "Oh, I'm such a burden on the family." No, you're not a burden on the family. It's a privilege to care for the older saints. It's a privilege. The image of God in them. They may lose their faculties. They may not be able to do many things for themselves, like a child, like a baby. But they're not a burden. Their life that God has given and sustained and used for years for His own glory. So don't think that. So don't think when you are losing your faculties, don't say, "I'm a burden on you, my daughter, my son." No. It is their privilege to care for you. But with that particular trend, there is a problem of young people, relatively young people, adult children, who don't want to assume responsibility for their own parents. Their time and money and inheritance is too important for them. Or they'd rather hand that responsibility of care off to someone else. Now, I'm not saying that there is no point where there are situations where we just cannot do certain things. I'm not talking about those points, but we are talking about this easy approach to things, this attitude. That the issue, this is a problem, and someone else, the government, needs to deal with it. That's why we pay our taxes. It's the attitude behind it all. That is someone else's problem, not mine. Now, how we assume responsibility is a different matter. I simply want to address the issue of the principle of our obligation to our parents. You think about what our Lord Jesus Christ said when he was on the cross. He was in agony. He was in pain. He was experiencing the wrath of his own father. He was experiencing the ridicule of the people around him. He was under pressure, you could say. A lot of pressure. And he had been hurt. He had suffered. His friends were fleeing from him. He had suffered much by the hands of men. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross makes it very clear that we have an obligation to help our parents in need as much as we can. And you think about that for yourself for a moment. And there is no spiritual, we could say, rigmarole that we can spout out that relieves that obligation. But I've noticed in people that there might even be a tension amongst husbands and wives about what do they do with their parents. And one would say, "No, it is our responsibility." The other one would say, "No, it is not. We don't need to worry about that." And there is this tension that happens. And it seems that oftentimes one party wants to honor the parents and care for them, but there is a resistance and resentment from the other party or within the siblings too. What are we going to do with our parents? It's a real issue. In some ways, all of us are going to be affected by that. If you've got fathers and mothers, you're going to be affected by that. If you've got siblings, if you've got husbands and wives, you're going to be affected by that. So everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their own thoughts about it. What does the Word of God say about the matter? That's the thing that matters. The Scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. It says, the principle is clear. We have an obligation to care. And this is an absolute. It is non-negotiable. We can get tense over the particulars, just like we can over the rearing of children. But there shouldn't be a whit of argument over the principle of obligation to our older parents if we are listening to the Word of God. And that's the first thing I want to say. So, if you have older parents, they need care. You are the responsible person to think prayerfully and see what the Scripture says and what you can do. So you have to see it as your responsibility to care for them as long as possible and sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money. It may mean, sometimes it is that when the children have grown up, sometimes and circumstances have changed, and maybe it means that you have to give up certain amount of your work time and say, no, I will stop certain things. And because I need to care for my parents. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, He was hanging on the cross, dying on the cross, saying to John of His mother, behold thy mother. You read that at the end of John's Gospel. Then he looks to his mother, Mary, and he says to her, behold thy son. And by those words, you already know that he was saying that John was now the carer. John was now the guardian. John was now the protector of this woman who is now his mother. He has to treat Mary as if she was his mother. I can't help now. I'm dying now. I'm giving my heart's blood for sinners now, but John, you are there. This is your mother. Treat her in that manner. Care for her. Don't let her be alone. And then says to Mary, Mary, this is your son. Whatever he does in terms of helping you and protecting you and providing for you, you must receive those things as if I was there to help and to give. Behold thy son. We have said this before, that how the Lord Jesus Christ used the illustration of caring for parents as honoring them in Matthew 15 and verses 3 to 9. We read it in this manner. And sometimes we read this passage to look at other concepts, but we shouldn't lose the fact that the Lord uses this illustration here. Let me read it to you, Matthew 15 and verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. So, this person says, no, I'm not going to spend this money on my parents because it's being used as a gift for the things of God. He says, no, this is not right. You're saying that that person is now free from honoring his father and mother in caring for his father and mother. Because they say, we are involved in and we are giving this time and money and things like that to the work of the Lord as a gift to God. And so we can't use it for our parents. And so the Lord says, they are not honoring their father and mother. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So he's saying, this is the matter of the heart. These things are coming out, and it's showing our spiritual standing and walking with the Lord. It's not just a matter of, it's not a matter about your time or money or your abilities. It's a matter of the heart. That is the root of this. And it says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But the example that the Lord uses is this issue, this illustration of honoring father and mother. I've said enough on that, but I want you to think about this then. And I hope you older saints will be cared for and better. And what if you don't have children? It is there that then the church must care. God's people must care. That's another thing to think about. But the second thing is this. And it is that the issue of how parents relate to children. How parents relate to children. In our society, we see increasingly parents relating to their children as equals or as peers. And even being encouraged to relate to their children as equals and peers. To be their buddies with them. And parents refer to their children, hey buddy, come here, or buddy, do this. And I have to restrain myself usually when I hear that kind of a thing. And this is given rather than having this attitude, no, I am in the place of authority. I am the parent here. I am the father. I am the mother. And friends, this is not only bad for children. It is bad for the structure of society. And it doesn't uphold the structure which is set forth here, in which parents are to be acknowledged as superiors by their children. There has to be that honor that is given. It's something that we need to watch out for. And there are many natural things that tug us to relate this way. But God has reminded us, dear friends, that in this very verse itself, that He has an authority structure which is ignored only at the peril and at our own peril and at the peril of our own children. I remember a teacher not too long ago said to me this. One of the things that the headmaster said to him when he began as a young man in this school, he said, you must be friendly with the children, but you are not their friend. You're their teacher. And I thought that was good. And he said that kept him. And he said, so when teachers try to be friends of the students, the class wouldn't operate properly. Because there was that lack of a structure, lack of authority. And the same applies to parents. You have to be friendly to our children, but you're not their buddy. You're their parent. And you have responsibilities over them. So that is something else to bear in mind. Because we are living in a culture that everything, any kind of authority, is seen as being an old-fashioned thing. It is out of date. It's something to be put to one side. And you ask yourself, are we better off because of it? Is it going well with us as a nation, as a society? No. The third thing is this. There is the epidemic problem of disrespect for parents and others in authority. There's this problem of disrespect for parents. Children, do you honor your parents? Or do you, have you disrespected them? Well, we can say, well, all of us in some capacity have disrespected our parents. But do you care about it? Do you really think about it? Do you see that being an important issue? It's not uncommon for very young people in our society to be disrespectful in their words and in their actions to parents and teachers and others. We ought to go out of our way to foster an attitude in our children, not only to have respect for us, but for others in authority. Mothers and fathers, you ought to have respect for each other before your children and uphold each other's authority and not undermine each other with your children. Do not put each other down. Respect the authority of your spouse over your children because they must respect you and your spouse's authority. And if your children don't have respect for you or others in authority, there is a real problem. And you feel it. Those of you who have experienced this, you feel it. When I have experienced it, you feel it. And it's like a knife to the heart. And you think, what have I done? And in that situation, you have to ask yourself, where is the problem? Has it been because of me? Because of me not really dealing with issues that have arisen? Or is it also influence from outside that's come in and brought this upon us? We need to cultivate, dear friends, that respect. Because as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and Romans chapter 1, and this respect for authority of parents is not just a moralistic problem. It is not simply a socialization problem. It is a deep spiritual problem which results in the judgment of God. A person who can be consistently cheeky and irreverent in their speech to parents has a deep moral and spiritual problem. A person who can, without the slightest qualm of conscience, disobey parents, have a deep moral and spiritual problem to be dealt with. I read a very helpful article published in a magazine that is edited by Joel Beakey, and I think we ought to pass this on to all children here, but speaks about how teens can honor their parents. But it goes on to speak about this, and I want to quote this for you, and then hopefully we can get this to you as well. It says this, trying to help the children in the congregation. How can you, as a child, help your parents confidently give you more independence and freedom? By building trust. And that comes with honor. So you young people, you want your parents to give you more freedom, to give you more things that you can do. Well, you need to build trust with them. And you need to honor them. You need to obey them. The more your parents trust you, the easier it will be for them to agree to your request and grant you more freedom to do the things on your own. How can you build trust with your parents? And then it gives you a number of things. I'll just read through them quickly. Be honest with them even when you have done wrong. Ask their permission to do things or inform them when a change of plans occurs. Show your love for them and look for opportunities to do so. Communicate with them. Readily talk with them and be a good listener. Try to understand them, thinking about their God-given responsibility and deep love for you and wanting the best for you. Pray for them, including that God would assist them in their weaknesses and faults. Trust your parents. Willingly respect and obey them. Trust that the Lord Jesus can help you to do this. Pray much to God for this. And we can apply very similar things in terms of other kind of relationships too. So think on this, dear friends. Do you honor, do you obey your parents? But then the fourth thing is this, the final thing. What about exceptions? Honor thy father and thy mother. What if my parents are wicked men and women? And that's where we always want to run to, or people want to run to and say, well, in this situation, it's unique. This situation doesn't apply to me. I shouldn't honor my father and mother in this situation. Those circumstances that you've got difficult situations, parents that are dealing with you wrongly. Well, I want to say first, don't be too quick to run to the exceptions. This is the question of the Pharisees. This is Pharisaism, this attitude. When does God's law not apply? That's the Pharisee talking. Where's the loophole that I can use? When do I not have to do what God has said in His word? Don't be too quick to run to exceptions. But there are exceptions. There are abusive parents. There are parents that call on you to do things that are against God's commands. There may be parents who have been extraordinarily neglectful and incompetent. They may have actually abandoned you in one way or another. How do you deal respectfully in that situation? How do you uphold this commandment? Well, there are several things to be said about this. The first thing is this. Don't think that the utter failure of a parent to relate to you properly, as the Lord commands in His Word, and as the Apostle Paul, by the way, especially what he says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 and the following verses, don't think that that alleviates all obligations on your part to think through this commandment helpfully and carefully. If you do, you'll be racked with guilt. And I promise you that. If you write it off and if you say, well, they haven't dealt with me right, so I'm not going to deal with them right. I'm not going to obey them right. You'll be racked with guilt, dear friends. You need to go to a godly older person in the faith and get some good counsel, godly people, on how to deal with the specifics of these relationships. And it's not an easy thing. It's not a black and white thing. But the Lord has put you in situations where there are godly people around you that can pray with you and think through with you. But you also need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself had to deal with that difficulty in His own upbringing. The Lord Jesus Christ had parents who, in His years as an older boy, thought that he was being disobedient. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to manage those things. There were times that the mother said that this is what you should do. And he said, woman, my hour has not come. He had situations like that. And the Lord Jesus had to manage honoring His parents in situations that were difficult. And remember that your Savior walked your way. He has walked that path as well. Remember too that there are ways of respecting the authority of a position without enabling bad behavior or approving it. And those are the difficult things to work out in counsel with others. These issues of honor of parents are not, dear friends, old-fashioned. They are not out of date. They are not something of a past generation, but they are timely things for our day, for our time. And we would see with a revival and of appropriate relationships to our parents, along with it, a revival of appropriate relationship to God and in the context of the church to those in authority, because they are all connected. If you have a child who is disrespectful to you, they'll also be dishonoring in their position, in their workplace, and in society. You see the thing running through. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, can enable you to live the way that He has set for us. This is not something that you can do pulling yourself up by your own morality and trying to pull yourself up together in this way. But you need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian, you need Him to save you. You need a new heart. That's what you need. And if you are a Christian, then you need the whole armor of God every day. That's what you need. You need the Spirit's help every day. You need the Word of God every day to help you. And so I ask you, have you been in a pattern, dear friends, of dishonoring parents, not really caring for your parents, not really thinking about their old age, not thinking about them now, the things that they say in your home? What do you think? It's convicting, isn't it? I feel convicted about it, preaching it. We need help from the Lord. We need the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so your response to this, if you're struggling in this area, and we could say maybe if you're honest, who isn't struggling in this area, is to avail yourself to the Word of God, to die to yourself. That's what it is, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him by dying to yourself. Follow and be led by the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves from sin and gives newness of life. Well, may God help you and may God help me in following the Lord in this fifth commandment.